세상을 난 나쁘지.
To live the last day here in the moment.
만났고요.
But you will meet you again.
Different 사람이. So, go on. But practice. Yeah.
I'm doing two experiments. The first one has to do with samadhi during sitting meditation, which historically I've been quite attached to. So the experiment is to maintain mindfulness and practice samadhi at the same time. And the way that I'm approaching that is when the mind is clear and settled, it's expansive enough to track the two things that I think really create samadhi for me, which are noticing and releasing tension anywhere in the body, and tracking each breath completely beginning to end. So that the expansive mindfulness can track that and accept whatever noise or other things are going on with no reaction.
Yeah.
So it's not a perfect, as I said, it's an experiment, but I wonder if Sarah could comment on that.
The detailing that was simple, the low, gently, tired. And then what do the mind piece it? How to put na cool the detailing there? The cool, say then what? Can I go to my dinner? What do you? The detailing go and shop. Now bro, now the cool. That should out you get then ma. A piece on that should I should I? Say that they chat in it
lah.
Sa song in it lah. Sa song in it lah. Yeah, and we forget the effect of the breath on us. You know, we end up breathing short breaths, taking short breaths and not realizing, or sometimes we stop breathing because we're tense. So noticing the breath is very helpful, and then lengthening our breath helps us to relax as well. So when we take a long out breath, we said we can feel the relaxation happening throughout the body as well as the mind. So everything to be mindful of from beginning to end.
It's a miracle though. First go with this. The other experiment has to do with reading. I read a lot. And so I've been trying to maintain mindfulness more while reading. And generally, so far, that takes the form of when I turn a page, I check the mind. If there's a break in the text, I check the mind. You know, if something distracts me, a physical sensation, check. I'm basically looking for checkpoints during reading, because while reading, mindfulness is not so great.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
He's
saying in the beginning, that's what you do. Give yourself checkpoints and so on, just to bring it in again and
again.
Yeah, and then slowly that mindfulness will come into recognizing the mind when it's reading.
Wow.
And how it feels when it's reading. Lots of things the mind does when it's reading, like looking at the words.
Yes,
yeah. Like making sense of the meaning, you know, not just reading the words, but, you know, the mind interpreting it. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, sorry. I've been sitting in August Central Retreat,
and doing a lot of driving. So whilst driving, when the momentum of mindfulness is built, it's very obvious to notice seeing, looking, and lots of attentions around looking, moving, checking, so all that. At the sitting postures, because there's momentum of mindfulness, there seems to be a lot happening in each. It's almost as if one can see lots of mind moves in a second. Yeah. And it seems very clear to me that it's anicca lakkhana. And I'm just wondering how I can... And as I try to investigate the mind, and that after some time that sort of fades, and then I have to start again noticing simple things and their thoughts again. So I'm just wondering if Sandor can talk around that. I don't know that if you have a question, but just talking around this whole process of it increasing and then decreasing.
Yeah.
So what in the group? The big time you go to the two countries, you take time to the shield of the way, and then you go to come out and the day I tire. I'm young, 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 ဒီကဆက်ဆက်လာမှာလေခံစားရတယ်ဒီလိုလာလုပ်ထိုင်အဲ့လိုဆက်ဆက်မှုနဲ့လာရင်ခိုင်တဲ့ညမှာစိတ်တွေအများကြီးဖြစ်နေတယ်ဟိုအချိန်တိုင်းအချိန်တိုင်းစိတ်တွေအများကြီးတည်နေတယ်လို့ပဲဖြစ်တယ်ဒီလိုစိတ်တွေအများကြီးတည်နေတယ်စိတ်ထဲမှာအနေဆက်လက္ခဏာသဘောရှိသလိုပဲတဲ့ဒီချာချာနားမလဲဘူးနော်ရဲ့လေးစိတ်ထဲမှာတည်သလိုပဲဖြစ်ပြောတဲ့ဒါမဲ့ तू ย่อออกย่อไว้อยู่ๆเลยเปลี่ยนซะเลยตะคู่ตะคู่เปลี่ยนอยู่แล้วตะคู่อะชินเปลี่ยนแดดเลยแหละทีโลเวอาถ่อเองไอ้โลเวอาชินอ่ะแดดไล่จะไล่จะไล่จะไอ้โลผิดเตะเลยไอ้โลตัวนี้จริงมันน่ะไม่ติดอยู่แหละบางทีมันน่ะไม่ติดกูจะเปล่าจริงน่ะเปล่าว่ะใช่มันรู้จักโอเค
when
it goes against momentum and then it drops off why does it drop off
He
said because there's doubt. You don't know what to do at that point of time. So then it starts.
He
said actually at that point, you know, when you feel like you're not sure what you're beginning to understand, it seems to be some understanding is coming, you're not sure. He says, don't try to do anything then. Just continue like that. That's what brought you here. That's what brings
you further.
The wisdom is beginning to gather. It hasn't gathered enough to pop out. But when you wonder how to make it pop out, that's it.
So there's just wondering.
Yeah, that's why.
Everything you've been doing is right. And you know, even you're starting over, when you start simple again, it's right. So you know how to do it. You just have to keep doing that only. He says you're lying down and a family of chickens is coming. Happy chickens is coming towards you. That's the wisdom. And he says, if you just lie there and continue doing what you were already doing, the chickens get comfortable that you're not threatening and they walk over you probably. But he says, You hear the chickens coming and you think, oh, I wonder if they're going to come. And you look at them and they all run away again. So I was like, why chickens?
Because you don't recognize them.
It's wisdom. He said in the beginning it's just like that. We're not skillful, so we don't really understand the nature of the mind. So there's continuity, there's momentum, there's gathering of enough information and wisdom, data and wisdom, and it should just go on like that, but we don't realize and we So instead of letting it continue naturally, we consciously start thinking about it, and then the natural wisdom weakens. The So this is a real example of papancha, actually. Unnecessary. At that point, we start to think about it. What shall I do? Yeah. So it comes in like that. But we don't really need to. Anicca lakkhana is an understanding of that nature. I won't say what nature. And it doesn't have to be that we see something arising and pass away. So the experience, how, what we see that makes us realize anicca lakkhana is not fixed. So you might see something changing or flowing, or you might see something come and go away. You understand that it's different all the time. All these different ways, or otherwise. So the experience, it does not determine whether you'll get the insight or not. So there's no particular way of seeing an object that will help an insight to arise. So the insight can arise regardless of the object. So.
I have two questions around the knower. Sometimes it feels clear that the watcher is watching you watch and hear, and sometimes it's not so clear. And
the watcher is watching you watch?
Yes.
Okay.
And then sometimes it's not so clear, and it's like, I feel like a tension in the back of my head. I'm not sure if it's just tension or it's the knower having
a mental block.
So perhaps a comment around how one knows when the knower is active. And the other thing is, who is watching the knower? I am. The ego.
When you know that the knower is watching you watch, is it a static knower? Is it always the same knower?
It just feels
like it's there.
It feels like it's there, it's distant. Okay. But sometimes it feels not so clear. Mm. And it's I feel a bit of tension around the back of my head, so maybe I'm trying too hard, or I don't know.
Okay. So, tu kan perlu belajar sebab tiada sega, cini ada sega, tu cini rau, cini rau. Oh. Cina sekat tu, tercahaya cina dah, tu cina dah.
Kalau tu ada, cina dah jangan cina. Cina dah tu, ngalui yang haro.
Yes.
Tukur betul yang.
Yeah, tukur yang ha. Namun lo, terkait le, cina sekat, mesin, esok perlu kanzar le. So, kau nama, kau anak apa, tenet dulu berkanzar le. Tapi tu, mesin lo. So, the watching mind, watching you watch the objects, is actually the watching mind seeing the knowing mind or the objects. But because the mind always needs to reference me, then this time your mind has made the knowing mind me. So the watcher is watching the knowing mind, which knows the objects. But you've made the knowing mind me. as far as the tension in the head and, you know, the fact that sometimes it's clear and sometimes it's not, he said that just depends on the momentum of the awareness and the natural building of the wisdom that understands that there are three, you know, that there are different natures at work, the objects and the knowing and the watching or whatever. So if you see the watching mind, fair enough, he said let it be. If you don't see the watching mind, it doesn't matter. That's when it's just, again, the mind is in a stage where it needs to be building the momentum again. So once the conditions are right, the watching mind will just appear naturally again. It's always there. It's just whether we are able to realize it's there or not. And that happens when there's enough awareness. Particularly when you have this three-stage watching, you know, where there's a watching, knowing the knowing, there's a watching of the knowing, knowing the objects. He says that has a lot of that has a lot to do with the understanding that this is, and that happens naturally. We can't think about it and try to separate them. When it sees enough, and then it will suddenly it will understand that there are these three natures because it's seeing. Then you will see the three at work. As far as who is watching or knowing the watcher, he says if you once you understand the nature of how the knowing and the watching are happening, once you understand that there is, in fact, it's just a knowing of the previous knowing, which is, and then the next knowing knows that, and then the next knowing knows that. Then, you just understand that there is a stream, although it feels like there's just one thing hovering there, but it is also renewing itself and knowing itself.
So when you said about sometimes it's merged with the me,
yes,
sometimes
yes.
Merged with the me.
Correct.
It's still the knower, even though it feels like
yeah, yeah.
Not separate.
Yeah, that's right. So it's just different levels of understanding because of how much awareness wisdom there is at that moment. What you want to do is just recognize in this moment there is this much understanding. The mind knows. There is the mind thinks the watcher is me. And then other times the mind sees the watcher is not me. So just recognizing when it's like this or when it's like that. Yeah. Yes.
Is it valid to place the awareness on Ubekka and then watch what disrupts the equanimity as a defilement, and then bring awareness when that defilement is seen, then bring the awareness back to the Ubekka again and focus the awareness on Ubekka?
Ubekka se piene, Ubekka se ko ayun yubiro. The kukuja Ubekka kawa viso kilita sumazo. Kilita jang kawa viso in kilita o tigro, Ubekka si piang. So we're not trying to develop equanimity as a goal. Our goal is to be aware of what is happening in the present moment as it is. So if there's upekkha, yes, you can take upekkha as the object. If a defilement arises that disbalances the upekkha, the defilement becomes the object.
Right.
And if the defilement is no longer there, automatically then upekkha is present again. So to stay with the process as it is.
Upekkha stay go ayun yun nei kwa ma. Ba bi lo so ba ban na phit tichin aw ni phit. Pili la win nei tichin phit.
It is skillful to take upekkha as an object when there is upekkha. Because when you are aware of the state of upekkha, you will instantly know when it is disbalanced. Yeah. So you know instantly something has come, impinged or come on.
So we call a new level, but no, they move it. But present to you, present to you, to the machine, to the party, or the
machine.
We don't have to see the machine, look, I'm happy to see that. In the present or present of the Kulu machine, the entire object.
Sometimes he says we're not able to recognize the Becca. We are able to recognize when it's pleasant, we recognize when it's unpleasant, and when it's neither pleasant nor unpleasant, we think we are not feeling anything. Instead of recognizing that is neither pleasant nor pleasant, which is possibly Becca.
Just around talking, I'm really pleased that there is a bit of talking, mm-hmm. and I'm pleased that we started it early,
mm-hmm.
because what I'm noticing is that my mindfulness is not really there when I'm talking.
Yeah.
Before I talk, I might plan to be mindful.
Mm.
When I'm talking,
you lose it.
I lose it because I'm too interested in what's happening, and also there's greed involved, like attachment, don't want to leave.
Yes.
Mm. And aware of that after, but during the time it's like too intense.
Mm.
So I'm pleased about the practice, and I still haven't mastered it.
That's fine. So if you're to cigar, you're then you're for beta to watch out. So then I look to you. ဘာတွေ့လဲဆိုတော့လုံးလို့မရအောင်မတွေ့တယ
်
။ဒါပေမဲ့ဘယ်လိုမြင်လဲဆိုရင်ဟိုအရင်တတိပေးထားရတယ်နော်။တတိထားမယ်ဆိုပြီးတော့ဝင်တယ်နော်။တကယ်လို့တော့တတိကမရှိတော့ဘူး။ဆိုတော့ကသိစိတ်ဝင်စားနေတယ်။ဖြစ်နေတာပြောနေတာသိစိတ်ဝင်စားနေတယ်။နောက်ပြီးတော့လောဘရှိတယ်။မထွက်သွားခြင်းဘူး။မရက်ခြင်းဘူး။လောဘရှိတယ်။ဒါဖြစ်နေတော့မမြင်ဘူးနော်။ပြီးရင်မြင်ရတယ်တဲ့။အဲပြီးရင်မြင်ရတယ်။အဲ့ဒါ
တိနေလို့ဟု
တ်တယ်။ So very good.That you notice that. He says, the fact that you remind yourself first, so although you think you're not aware, there's some little bit of remembering. So you're able to reflect afterwards and know that there was greed and, you know, why the mind lost its awareness because it was too interested and stuff like that. You can reflect on it and learn from it and prepare yourself for the next conversation. You're beginning to understand things about how mindfulness can or cannot be when you're having a conversation, right? And you will learn from each conversation a little more, even if it's after the conversation.
ပြောဖို့ကအဓိကကြောင့်ဇလန်းအဓိကကြောင့်ကိုကပြီးနေတာအဓိကအရင်သဘောထားသူ့မှုကိုအရင်ပြင်တာဒါမှမဟုတ်
ချက်တော့ထက်တာပဲဒါပေမဲ့အဲ့လိုပဲ
ထက်တာလည်းသူ့ပြီးတော့ဆက်ပြီးတော့ပြောတာမဟုတ်ဘူ
း
အချက်ချက်ကြောင့်အချက်ကြောင့်ဒါအချက်မှမရှိသေးပဲပြီးနေတော့ပြီးပြီးမှတော့ကိုကအ
ချက်
မှမရှိဘူးဒါလည်းဒီဘက်ကိုလဲ့ထား
He says you know he says to remind yourself that what you're going bringing into the conversation is your awareness.So you're not speaking because you want to talk, but because you want to be aware, right? And because of habit, you won't be able to do it. But if this is what you remind yourself to do before every conversation, then slowly it will seep in. This new habit can take over to be aware while you
speak.
So whether the desire to be aware is stronger or the desire to speak is stronger,That will prevail. He says when we don't speak the whole day, particularly if we are holding back, he says then the urge to speak can become quite strong. Strong.
I don't know, I did you move up here? I'm pure, the other one.
So he says, remember to adjust the attitude. I am speaking to practice awareness.
Yeah.
That's why Siyado says, know the awareness. So know the awareness, know that you are aware before you begin speaking, and continue to check that awareness is still there, that you are still aware. That's why he says the most important mind is the awareness itself. We really have to recognize it's there, appreciate when it's there, acknowledge it's there.
Make
you feel welcome. He says, like, laughing, you know, knowing we're laughing, knowing that we know we're laughing.
Yeah.
He says, again, the reminder that whatever we know is fine. Just know it, because it's important to know.
If we develop
this habit of knowing whatever comes up, and knowing that we're knowing,
daily life, what about that? Ask what I'm doing.
Becomes easier to know in daily life.
I'm not quite clear about you can look and not see. Okay?
You can't look and not see.
Well, you can be looking at something but thinking of something else, so you don't see what's happening.
Oh. Then you're staring but not seeing. Okay. Because in looking you have an intention to see that object more clearly.
Yeah, that's what's not clear to me. So when you say you're looking means you have that intention
to look, yes.
So, and how can you see without looking? I don't quite understand that. In the book it says, can you see without looking?
You see, you've got your eyes open now.
Yeah. Yes.
You are seeing, right? Even if you don't look at any, like, say you don't want to look at me, so you try not to look at me, but you can't help seeing it, right? seeing is a physical physical phenomena. Just can you open your eyes? Vision is seeing.
Object and vision
is seeing.
Object and vision is still in the moment.
Yeah, so that's where at the phenomena level there's a vision, seeing object, and the mind contact through the eyes, and seeing happens. But looking is when you want to look at one particular thing in this whole vision.
Okay.
So seeing you see from end to end, but looking is when you focus on one thing. That's when you look. Yes.
Thank you. And the other question is, can you, or what part does, if you want to make a decision and you're unsure, or you want an answer to a difficult problem and you are unsure, can you actually ask for guidance before the meditation or during the meditation? Is there a place for that or there's no place for that?
Oh. He says when the mind has a problem, it's trying to make a decision or find a solution. He says the mind is already working on it unconsciously. So you don't have to consciously seek guidance because the mind is already seeking it. If you do a sitting meditation or stay quiet, you know, and contemplate, when the mind is clear and
unhindered, unfettered,
he says that's when the answer can sometimes come to you. He said that's why some people, like, they go to sleep on a problem and then they wake up in the middle of the night with the answer. Sometimes they're taking a shower and they get the answer. You know, things like that. Mm-hmm. So when the mind, it could be a sitting meditation, it could be any other time. But yes, when the mind is in a good state, that's when the answer will come. So so long as you remain aware that it become, you know, will eventually become. So he says that's why he feels it's not necessary to consciously seek guidance or ask for guidance, because that can sometimes bring in expectation. Mm-hmm. Like we want the answer, and then because we're looking for the answer, we won't get it.
Like the chickens.
Sorry. Like the chickens. The chickens are very clear.
Going back to the awareness of talking, I find that when one is being aware, after a while you don't actually want to say anything in the conversation. You're just watching. So I think it could be a problem.
No, he said it won't be a problem. I mean, this is an artificial situation. There really is nothing useful to talk about. So if you're wise, then you don't say anything. So it's just, you just relieve yourself of the burden of having to blabber, you know. But in life, if we have something important to say, we will say it. The intention to speak will be there. He says, you know, he's talking a lot here because he's in a position where he needs to speak. He needs to convey something. When he was practicing lay life, he hardly spoke. Really hardly spoke. His family thought he was going crazy. I mean, the extended family, not his immediate family. Those who didn't understand just thought he'd gone nuts because he didn't bother. When necessary, when he saw there was a need, yes, he spoke. He spoke because there was a need, but not like, you know, chatter. He didn't do that anymore. So then he says, became more meaningful. People also noticed that he only spoke when it was worth the words to speak, you know, sort of thing.
So they listened better.
He says very much relief, a lot of relief. When we speak, we have to put in energy, he says, and you become so aware of that when you're aware all the time.
Just following on from that, I've also found that, just in general, the more I've practiced over the years, often the less I want to talk. Sometimes I get into chatter mode, and other times I'm into really listening or quiet mode.
Yeah.
But I sometimes feel that that can make other people a bit uncomfortable if I'm just really not wanting to talk and there isn't anything to say.
He says, so in those situations when other people are feeling comfortable, there is a need to maybe say something. He says, then say what is necessary. Yeah. So a need arises, then you. It's not so much about whether we want to speak or not. It's about whether the situation merits that we should speak or not. So the wisdom must guide the.
Because a lot of conversations, particularly with Dhamma friends, will be around right speech. And then whether you just should speak. and the conversations can go well. The social lubrication mechanism.
Yeah, that is the pure thing.
You sort of not quite clear.
Not quite clear. Yeah, how much social lubrication to practice, right? Yeah. I think he didn't practice social lubrication.
The other Marie Chinian, the engineer, but the mom is with him, Chinian Pioni Jara. And the Romania, right speech there, but the brother, Guadri Tanija, Debbie Mene, the Cutley Zagar, a Symbian Pioni Zagari, who Banabura Valle, but they Valen, the Elwood, a Symbian or Chong or Nicola, the whole dad. He says when he was practicing in lay life, he said he didn't do at one point any social lubrication. But he said at that time he was a bit too seriously into the practice. He said he was desperate, so he was very into it. He was doing a lot of samatha, you know, just being aware of one object and staying on it, like, once he gained some balance, you know, once the practice had gained momentum, he had more wisdom, he understood things better and so on, he says, then the understanding of the necessity or the need for social lubrication sometimes, that it plays a part in human relationships. Whatever is beneficial to both parties is something that we can always pray. Mm-hmm. Yeah, put into practice.
Yes, it seems that in the absence of awareness,
yes,
life still goes on. My question is,
yes,
now my question is, when there is no awareness, whatever happens, namely the actions, non-actions, behavior, interaction with the environment, is that all mechanical? Because there is no awareness. I would like to say something on what really happens when there is no awareness.
The demon she will come out.
How time is?
Mechanical to have to set you and load it. I'm not the deal, machine up, hope. I think what Sarah's trying to express is that when there is no conscious awareness, it's not that there is no awareness. So throughout our life, there is somewhere. He says we can't not have awareness. If we did have awareness, we wouldn't know how to walk. Yeah. So there is awareness in every moment of life, but it's not strong and it's not conscious. Because it's not conscious and it's not strong, and there is no conscious continuity of it or acknowledgement of it, whether we have wisdom or not sometimes seems just incidental. Some people naturally have more, some people have less. The less we have wisdom, the more mistakes we make in life. We might, you know, there are people who have good intentions, but they're
very they're chaotic, then there can't be so much awareness, they make more mistakes. Yeah? But it's not that there's an absolute absence of awareness. When there's a lack of awareness and particularly wisdom, at a very gross level, he says, life can get very bad. You know, people kill other people. People end up, you know, committing grave crimes. The consequences upon themselves become very severe. You know, the defilements when they arise in them can go unchecked and then become very extreme. So that's the possible consequences of having less and less awareness and even less and less wisdom.
Yeah,
people,
yeah,
that's
right. Yeah,
there was an episode in Burma. This man had chili every day with his food, and one day there was no chili. And he was so enraged, he got up, took a piece of firewood and hit his wife over the head, and she died.
Oh my.
I mean, just, you know.
Not chili. No awareness. So,
at that time, the mind completely blinded. Yeah, so there's no more control. Mm-hmm. So the ordinary, you know, us walking around, there's some awareness, not completely without. He says, for example, we walk along lost in thought. He says we might walk along lost in thought, but we still walk straight. We still don't fall down. You know, sometimes we might kick a brick and fall over, but that's not all the time. Right? He says, all the functions of mind, they know how to do their work. They know how to do their own work, the awareness, the perception, all that is at work, and it does its own work. So as far, as much as it's able, it will allow us to function normally.
So there's always some measure of awareness.
Kusala minds have awareness. Wisdom minds have awareness. Akusala minds, Akusala minds don't have awareness. Unskillful minds don't have awareness as a concomitant. Yeah, all skillful minds have awareness as a concomitant.
But say animals, you know, when you watch a cat,
yes,
watching a mouse, or
yes,
time to jump.
There's
awareness.
A lot of attention will do that.
You can say attention, yeah.
Attention.
Yeah. Not samasati. Yeah, but just
samasati no mitasati, right? Mitasati is the ego no domain, right?
Yeah, it's mitcha. It's wrong attention.
Ngamyani, really? Going
fishing.
Money fishing,
you know, people who fish are very aware of, or hunting, very full of awareness, but the wrong motivation for being aware.
ဥစဉ်ကတော့ပြောပြတာမှတ်မိတာဥစဉ်ဟိုတတိကောင်းလာတဲ့အချိန်မှာလေမှတ်မိတာဥစဉ်စိတ်ချတဲ့အချိန်အဲ့ဒါခုနပြောမှုလားအဲ့ဒါပြောမှုလားပြောမှုလို့သင်ချတာဟုတ်ပြောမှုလို့ဟုတ်ပြရားအထုလို့ညင်တာတတိတမားလေးကောင်းတာဟုတ်အတိတ်ကဟာပြန်ပေါ်လိုက်ပြန်ပေါ်တဲ့ခါကျရင်စိတ်ကဘယ်တော့မှကြီးနေတဲ့အတွက်အကုန်လုံးပြန်မှတ်မိတယ်ဘယ်လိုစိတ်မျိုးနဲ့ဘယ်လိုလုပ်ခဲ့တာဘယ်လိုပြော
When Seattle was
practicing at, you know, in lay life, and his awareness and samadhi and, you know, wisdom, concentration, all that got better, he says, one day he recalled an episode when he'd been
a memory came
back to him of when he was taking drugs. He says he remembered that episode. Everything he said, what he thought, you know, his resentment, his all, you know, the things, the mind, everything that happened in the mind. his attitudes, his views at that time. How he'd been lying to his father, you know, the trickery he was using, everything he saw, you know, he saw all that. He remembered all that clearly. But he also saw clearly how in that state at that time, he had no awareness. He just did what he did. He was intoxicated in that state, and you know, things he'd done and thought and everything. But in that state of intoxication, there was no self-reflection. So he thought, I mean, he was so intoxicated he didn't even know himself, you know, at that time. How come he could remember everything that he experienced? And that's because sanya, perception, has done its work. So it has retained everything. It's just whether we're able to access the bank or not.
Just in relation to animals, there are some highly intelligent
animals. Yes.
Some highly intelligent animals.
Maybe we can say that they have a little bit of wisdom.
No, wisdom of your the power of the
focus. Yes, or planetary sanctuary for relief. Yeah, she really created this. There are stories of the Buddha having been born in animal lives and he was wise. I guess animals can have some wisdom.
What is that conscience? Someone who's not.
Conscience is wisdom.
Someone is when he was in his past doing all those things, being a druggie, he was going through and doing all those things, but I'm sure he was his conscience was not there, and therefore he was doing what he was doing, but he had no conscience of what he's doing. Sometimes is the same.
Actually,
yeah, at that time, he just knows what he wants. A bit cunning, try to get its way, you know, that sort of thing. Conscience raho makaundata. Conscience is a wisdom. In Pali, I think it's
Hiri
and Otapa. It's they call it moral shame and moral dread. I mean, I don't like to use the word fear, but an understanding that you shouldn't do what's wrong.
You should or should?
My question is on death. Yes. So does Marisa. It's my understanding that for an enlightened person when they die, there's no samsara, they don't have to come back. I've also heard if you die consciously, you don't come back. Because you died without fear and conscious mindfully. For example, there's an American Indian, they used to go to rituals when they're young, and have a death song, which they sing whenever they got sick or worried or in danger, so that when they did die, they died very consciously and very unafraid. So there's no samsara, assumably. So wouldn't it be easier to forget about enlightenment and just to learn how not to be afraid?
မြန်မာလေရောဟောတာမြန်မာကတော့တမန်သူတခြားချက်ဟုတာတချို့ပြောတာဥပမာဒီသူတို့ရက်နေနေတော့ဘာလို့ဆိုရင်ရှိတယ်အဲ့ဒါသူတို့ကအမ်ဒက်ဆောင်းဆိုတာရှိတယ်ဒီဟောတကုမဟမ်ဟောတက်ဆောင်းတချင်တချင်ရှိတယ်အဲ့တော့သူတို့ကဒါကိုအမြဲကျင့်တယ်သူတို့ဘဝမှာမေမကောင်းတိုင်းဟိုဗျာတိဗျာမှန်သမျှမှာသူတို့ကဒီဟာကိုအမြဲ
ဒီရှိအောင်လို့အဲ့တော့သူကယင်းနေတယ်တေးတာနဲ့တေးချစ်တရားနဲ့ယင်းနေတော့တရားမှမကြောက်ဘူးနောက်တော့တေးတာနေမှလည်းဒီလိုဟိုကလောက်ဝင်သူကတတိယမလဲတော့လို့ယူစတယ်အဲ့တော့ဟိုနိဗ္ဗာန်ရောက်ဖို့ကြိုးစားတာနဲ့တတိယနဲ့တေးဖို့ကြိုးစားရင်ပြောင်းမှုလာတယ်ညမပါတော့အောင်ရအောင်ကိုကမကြောက်တာသူကဟိုလုံးမဟုတ်လည်းလုပ်ခိုင်းတယ်သူကသူကပေါ့မှာပဲဟုတ်ကြောက်ပါပဲ
As far as he knows in Buddhism, if you don't have the wisdom to stop the cycle of samsara, you will continue in the cycle of samsara. Even for an enlightened being to not enter samsara again, you have to be an arahant, right? What do you call it? An arahant? In English? Fully enlightened. Because there is the one quarter, the half, and the three quarter enlightened ones, right? Yes. So the three mentor, once we turn and whatever. So, so they continue in samsara until they become fully enlightened. The other thing is, he says about being fully conscious and not afraid when you're about to die. He says that is an ideal situation. It may not get you out of samsara. I mean, not as far as the Buddhists say, but it gives you a peaceful death. It means that you the likelihood of going to a better life or another human life, you know, or a life where you're likely to be able to practice Dhamma and so on is there. The thing is, he says, about not fearing death. If you've done a lot of unwholesome actions in your life and there is no wisdom that understands it, anything about it. He says, fear will arise. Because when we are dying, they say, images of our life flash by us. We also see images of where we are going when we are near to death. And if we're going somewhere not wholesome, the fear is bound to arise. So the practice is very important at that time.
And I just mindfulness. Share something similar, the same line as what the South Americans do. I'm Mahayana Buddhist, and we practice the chanting of the Buddha's name on a regular basis, so that at the time of death, to have the conscious mind to be able to chant, so you single-mindedly then becomes a habit that you've been chanting the Buddha's name.
Correct.
To create that peace and also the knowledge that you let everything go, so that at the time of death you are at peace with yourself, and you have this knowledge and understanding that your body is a hotel, you change it to move to another hotel because when you're done.
Yeah, if you're getting promoted to a better hotel,
he will take you into his pure land where you are born through the purity of the lotus flower. And then when once you're there, you're not enlightened.
Yes.
But once you're there, you're out of the samsara of death and rebirth. Mm-hmm. And you're able to practice the Dharma and continue to practice the Dharma until you achieve enlightenment.
Mm-hmm.
And keep that in mind, there is no fear. At the time of death.
Yeah.
Because you know, or you believe. This is what will happen.
Right. So Roma, He says the practice of again, the necessity to the ability to chant, and also to have the samadhi to maintain that sort of one-mindedness at the time of death. You know, that's why they ask you to make it a practice so that at that time you can get that one-minded. You know, how much do people practice and how one-minded can they be before death? All that makes a difference.
And how do you know you're dying? You're alive, you're dead. Only others you know you're dead.
ဒီမှာဘယ်လိုဖြစ်နေလဲဘုရားရှင်မျိုးတော့ပဲဖြစ်ပါဒီရှားဆိုတဲ့စိတ်မှာဖြစ်နေတယ်ဘုရားရှင်မျိုးတော့ပဲဖြစ်ပါဒီရှားဆိုတဲ့စိတ်မှာဖြစ်နေတယ်ဒီစဉ်းစားနေလားဦးနေဦးပြင်ဆိုတာသူ့ဖြစ်တဲ့စိတ်ကြည့်ပြီးတော့ခုနကဝမ်းပိုက်လောက်လို့မရတော့ဘူးပြန်ကျင်းနေပြန်ဟုတ်လားအတိတ်မျိုးအနာကအတိတ်မျိုးပြစ်စုံပေါင်းစုပြီးသူ့မှာစဉ်းစားနေဘယ်လိုလုပ်ဝမ်းပိုက်ဖြစ
his father was just, he was fine before, but around the time when he was going to die, when he got very sick, his mind became really confused. He couldn't tell the difference between the past, the present, and the future. He got them all lumped up into one mixed up story in his head. He would ask his son to take him to work long ago. So his son is older now and has a car, but he's asking him to take him to work, which was long ago, you know, so he's getting all the stories mixed up. He says, how to be one-pointed at that time? How to be one-minded at that time? He doesn't even know what is real anymore. The mind has no strength.
သူတစိတဲ့မှာတော့ဇလန်းကြီးတယ်သူအိမ်ကြီးသူအတွေ့အကြုံမှာအတွေ့အကြုံမှာသူတကယ်လို့ထင်ပြီးတော့ပြောနေတယ
် So he has all these funny stories happening in his head and he thinks they're real and he's telling people to do things, asking them about things, yeah.
But he can be aware of confusion, isn't he?
He's
at that time in Korea. ဒီပြင်းမှာဆိုရင်သူဒါပြင်းလို့သူပြန်ပြီးဘူးလေ away ဖြစ်လာရင်သူပြန်အယုံပြုလို့ရမှာ
Yeah. When they could remind him sometimes and he was a little more lucid, they could remind him, he could be met, be a bit aware, he said, but sometimes he just get lost in his own head. One thing that his father did retain is awareness of the Sangha, because he, you know, he devoted his life to the Sangha for many years, brought all his children to them and all. So when he saw his son, he saw a monk, he didn't see his son. Then he put his hands together. So the, you know, that those wholesome feelings would still come in. So, you know, the some saving grace all built from habits in our life.
So, and they were also just built from increasing and practicing regularly. I don't know if this is correct, but when I first started practicing, things that were very unskillful in my life, when I would sit on the mat, I would feel myself sort of almost recoiling from the memory, as if I was moving. I'd open my eyes, but I was still sitting still, but the recoiling would be there. And those issues would go over and over, but now they no longer have the they don't come up usually, and they don't have power when they do. And is that what is preparing us
for? အထုံမှုမှာပေါ့ဘဝဟိုတေကနီမှာအချက်ကြောင့်ဦးစင်းပြောလို့အထုံမှုမှာ तू သတိထားမယ် तू စအထုံတော့ရတယ်ခုဘဝမှာကိုအခုတို့တွေလောက်ခဲ့တာမှန်တယ်မြတ်စဉ်းစားမိစိတ်ကရှုံနေတယ်လေရှုံနေတခါလေသူ့ကိုယ်သူဒီလိုလှုံနေတယ်လို့အနောက်ဆုံးတယ်လို့ထင်တာမျက်စိဖွင့်ကြည့်ရင်ဒီတိုင်းပဲဒါပေမဲ့အထဲထဲမှာလူကအဲ့လိုအဲ့လိုတွန်းနေတာဒါပေမဲ့အခုအထုံရအထုံရနေဘယ်လိုဖြစ်လဲဆိုတော့ဟုတ်တယ်အခုမြင်လဲမြင်ဖို့လဲရှာတယ်တိတ်မပေါ်တော့ပေါ်ရင်လဲလက်ခံနိုင်တယ်အရင်တော့လို့မတွန့်တော့အဲလိုမျိုး prepare လုပ်တယ်လို့ပြောလို့ရပါ
တယ်ဘာလို့လဲဉာဏ်တော့အခုလို့လုပ်ပါ
တယ် The wisdom is growing, the wisdom is more accepting, sees things for what they are, nature of the mind. So yeah, wisdom will do that work.
အရင်တော့ဉာဏ်မရှိတော့ဒီပုံမှန်ထပ်ပြီးတော့တာဖြစ်
Initially, when there's no wisdom about its nature, then we recoil from it, thinking, you know, because we identify with it and stuff like that. We think it's not good.
So we just begin to understand our ignorance.
Go yet. And go how, go now, let la.
Bravo.
As he was talking about his dad, I was wondering,
his dad meditated, but not very.
Oh, he wasn't a very good practitioner.
Who was it? I'm picking up. I took it. I'm a young
man.
Not dedicatedly.
ถ้าไม่รู้สึกทุกข์เกี่ยวอะไรเลยบาลีนโมนโมพุทธะตานโมพุทธะเออเอาอย่างนี้เออเอาเอาไปรู้โชชิเออเอาไปรู้เปล่าเลยรู้สึกเออเอาไปรู้เปล่าเลยรู้สึกดูเองทอดได้เหมือนนายทอดได้ดูเออสุขุมเถอะเออเอาคิดตัวเออดิบไปๆนี่เราไปรู้คิดแต่รู้สึกเปล่าเลยรู้ว่าไม่ใช่เปล่าตัวดิบไปเอาไปตัวดิบไปแล้วมันเนี่ยตัวดิบเนี่ยบัดนานนี่นะ
When his father was dying, there was something his brother would always remind him. His father could do anapana quite well, so he reminded him he could do it. The other thing that he did as a practice was every time he stepped in and out of the house, he would say, Namo Buddhata. Oh, he would do the three
verses.
Yeah, Buddham Saranam Gacchami. And he did that quite regularly. And so his eldest brother, when he was with the father, he would remind him of that. And because he was in pain, you know, he was bedridden, he would always be like, you know, uncomfortable and shifting uneasily. And if his eldest brother reminded him, you know, said Buddham Saranam Gacchami to him, he would quiet down a bit. The memory of it would give him some peace.
Yeah.
So that's right. This is everything we practice will never go to waste. So it's only if we have not practiced. He says, so practice to really understand, then die if you must. It's okay. Yeah. His teacher used to say the person will die, but the wisdom will not die.
Mm. So going back to Sue's question, mm-hmm. if you are aware, with awareness, can you neutralize bad karma?
With awareness, can you neutralize?
She said when she's aware, you see all these negative stuff that she recalled from the past became less and less intense and was not an issue anymore. So can awareness neutralize previous bad karma to some degree?
The dia can take a can so neutralize lo ya nyamba the
dia neutralize lo lo mi ya akudo ga akudo chou pe ba lo sa me kudo ga phong na le twa tu phit khwe me ya la lo shi
he says every
da me khuna lo lo to da ba phit twa yin so yo to da ba chou pe lo mi ya la le ma tu pyan tat kha la ta kha ye lo ye kha ya ai ya lo lo phit twa
Nothing can neutralize the effects of your actions. If you've done an unwholesome deed, the effect of the unwholesome deed will take place. What can happen is mitigation. When you have a lot of wholesome actions, if their effects are stronger, they can prevent the unwholesome from taking fruit or taking place or giving fruit in at that time. When karma is stopped or neutralized is when we become enlightened. So if you're a street enterer, first level, an entrant, then he says at the level of a street enterer, all the karma that would have led to rebirth in the lower states, the woeful states, all that karma is neutralized, but not the other karma. Yeah. So, for example, he said, you may have killed someone, and you know, you get your just desserts, but you don't go to hell anymore. I mean, somebody else might kill you or beat you to death or something. He says we've all committed all sorts of akusala, unwholesome karma in our samsara. so long as we work on the positive, so long as we work to keeping the to cultivating the wholesome karmas, and we keep cultivating them. He says what happens is that it is the power of the kusala mind that will purify the mind so that it has the power to understand and become enlightened. So long as we give this power, allow this power to grow, keep feeding it, he says then we can bring it to the point of fruition. So
it's a chain, this moment of the thing.
Yeah, yeah. So we just keep building the good.
Yes. And
do two soldiers are at war and killing each other. Mm-hmm. Are they accumulating that karma? Because they're about to be a fight.
And the people who send them to the war, they accumulate that karma too.
Throw sit sitario sit twatai kanya lurile aku dukan. He says it's always about the intention. He says you may not do the killing, but if you're happy that you know the enemy has been killed, same effect.
So something that has puzzled me was manokama.
That
thinking unwholesome thoughts leads to bad karma. Now these thoughts come spontaneously in the head. You have no control.
Somebody asked him, why is it in the Buddhist scriptures it says like you kill an animal and then you get killed in the animal lives 500 times? He said it's not fair. Or you know, you get killed as many times as there are whiskers on the bodies of that cat or something like that. He said it doesn't seem fair. You take one life, why do you have to die 1,000 deaths? And Sarah explains that it's not about the life, because that's the concept. It's about the mind. And to kill something, how many mental chetanas do we go through to kill somebody, to kill something? You know, how many minds that have the intention to kill? So the innumerable, right? Because in one thought moment there's a trillion minds or something. So innumerable minds that have given themselves to the energy to kill, the intention to kill, and that's how many times that it gives result. Oof. The good thing is that it's the same for good. As much goodness as you put into any action, that's how much result will come about. And so that's the good news. So it's fair.
That's the American Indians then.
Sorry?
The American Indians, for example, they hunted with great respect for the animal.
They
killed the animals with great respect
to
the spirit of the animal and great gratitude. So does that mean that they're not, according to the Buddhist beliefs, they're not accumulating that karma? Because they have the great respect.
Maybe not as much. ตัวเดียวเลยโอ้เรดเนี่ยเนี่ยตัวอ่ะเอาอะไรตัวอ่ะอกังตัดชินะเสียงเนี่ยบอกกันอกังว่าตัวตัวอสาธิตเอาเจซูอติเนี่ยตะตะยะเลยสุดาน้าแลบลุบแต่เออแล้วสมัยไอ้ลูกบลูคอมเลยกังอ่ะ So the resultant karma, I mean, you know, everything in their minds would give result, right? So that would be the karma of having the gratitude, the karma of the respect, and then the karma of killing. So maybe just the killing part would be much reduced because there's not this volition and this this enjoyment in the act of killing or something
like that. So it's all about energy.
It's about the energy in the mind, yeah? He says, like, some people, they may not have killed someone, but the planning of it, how much cruelty or pleasure or whatever, intention to kill or the anger or whatever, just that is, he said, those minds are already directing the mind towards hell. If he died in that moment, he would be in hell, right? While planning, because what the mind is full of is hellish intentions. And he hasn't killed anybody yet.
So can lead to bad karma.
Sorry?
Fantasy.
So people who are really upset and depressed and planning to kill themselves, is it the same thing? What are the four things that make a sila, that break a sila? There is the intention to, the action, the result.
The definition of panatipata, or you know, when you break the panatipata, is when four conditions come together. You have the intention to kill. You know, there is life. You take action to kill, and the being dies. And once that happens, you have broken the panatipata. Then the result is there. So if you kill yourself, there is a being, there is life, there is intention, and it dies.
And death.
So even if you're thinking about killing yourself and you die at that time, possibly. He says people who have committed suicide in their past lives or killed other people in their past lives, he has met some people like that. Thoughts of suicide in this life are very strong, or thoughts of wanting to kill
others.
Very difficult for them to stop those thoughts, and sometimes to prevent the action. The slightest provocation, and their solution is to kill themselves or to kill somebody else. You know, this is, yeah.
ตะไคร้ตะไคร้ที่เราปฏิบัติเนี่ยเราเรียกว่าเป็นการปฏิบัติเพื่อที่จะเอาตัวเองออกจากกองทุกข์เอ่อโกอุปมาอกามิเนี่ยบอกไอ้มันมวยถ้าได้กองนี้เดียวโกตะนาโลตรุเต็งกันนี่ตะนาโลว่าตู้หมูตัดไปไอ้มันเวทนาสิไอเดียที่อ่ะรู้สึกเออตรุโดขะยอมนี่เหรอตรุเวทกูขอบรอซิทุบไปไล่แต่ยังยังตีมาเออจ้ะเราตีๆนี่
Yeah, so there is this, then it becomes a controversy. Yeah, he says that doctors have this great euthanasia has this big thing around it. Is whether the intention is to kill, to take that person's life, or to relieve the suffering. What was your intention? And it's a very fine line. And I think even the person who does it, even if they believe they were doing it to relieve the suffering, the knowledge that you've taken life can stay in your head. It's quite hard. And especially when the law says that a doctor must carry out euthanasia if the patient deems so, you know, if the patient has willed it, it goes into all sorts of gray areas.
There was just two things that were the five elements.
Four parts regarding the sila.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Many of those play a part in any action.
Yes.
Especially intention and one's perception.
The
perception of, for example, that the person is alive. But all of those play a part to one degree or another in any action of any unwholesome action. That in the Vinaya, that's when you read the Vinaya in detail, the monastic code, all of those are dealt with in every single breach of the code, whether or not they need to be present or not. For example, in telling a lie, a simple lie, it requires intention.
Yes, you must intend to lie. The person must believe it or be deceived, and you must tell the lie. And then
there's certain these elements.
Yeah,
and that. So going back to the original one, discussion about the killing of animals, for example.
So it's probably mixed intentions. Like, you know, we know that the suffering will only be relieved when they die. So
that's my intention to die.
Some intention to have their life.
But sometimes we're relieving our suffering. Watching the animal suffering.
Yes. We can't accept it.
The question exists as to whether or not, in the case of modern medicine, whether or not the person is in fact still alive, whether or not there is in fact a life force. That's the big debate.
But there are cases of euthanasia when somebody is walking around and they ask for it.
And in North America now, there has been a tendency over the past 10 years where people choose to die, and they'll stop eating and stop drinking, and then within 7 to 10 days they're dead.
That's suicide.
I want to just follow up on this question about mercy killing to relieve one's own suffering. For me, there's a parallel in I feel kind of hypersensitive to any story, whether it's fiction or even in the newspaper, where cruelty is the main thing. I mean, physical pain, I'm okay, fine. But cruelty of one person to another just causes this. I really want to look away. I just find it difficult.
Accepting that difficult. Lutiao can not deal with him. Now, he accounting with him. He is genesis, look down. And he'll go. Not how many jar and yin and swim with
เสร็จแล้วยังไม่รู้อีหลับไปดิไม่รู้อ่ะตลอดคันซาลงไม่กล้าเอ๊ะอะไรอย่างคันนั้นไอ้เราไม่รู้ไม่รู้แล้วแล้วคันนั้นเรายังมาว่าตัวไล่บุญคันซาเนี่ยมีน่ะว่าเส้นน่ะกูพูดอะไรอ่ะติดปากแล้วป่ะตัวนี้เนี่ยหาว่าไล่คันซาเนี่ยไอ้เราคันซาเนี่ย
it's because of our what's the word for it? What do we call it? Empathy. We sort of go into the mind of the cruel person.
And
we imagine the cruelty. Yes. We also imagine the effect on the person who is the victim of the cruelty. And we participate in the that whole emotional experience. And I think that's what happens to me as well. So, and then we shrink from it. So he says we have to stop doing that.
So we just stop accepting that as part of reality. And not take it on.
Yeah, not take it on, he said. Don't think about it. He says we have... At this sort of thing, he says, really, it's the upekkha bit, it's the last resort that must come in. He says, because the person who is suffering the cruelty has done something before. So they're suffering a result. The person who is doing the cruelty, well, there is no wisdom.
And they're creating something.
So it's just, we have to accept it, unfortunately.
It's something we don't intervene.
If you can, go up. If you, upekkha is not indifference, but are you in a position to intervene, or have you just read about it after it's over?
Yeah. Well, I'm a social worker.
Yeah.
You
see it all the time. So if you have the power, the ability, the will, the opportunity, then yes, why not? Try to make a difference. For us, we're just like maybe watching TV or reading in the newspaper. He says we're just creating more.
Not real. In the movie, not real.
Yeah.
You are real.
Still don't like it.
Would you just see a reaction?
Yes.
It's related, but it might be a bit opposite.
Yeah.
I feel pain, but I feel a bit distant. When I was a child, I thought I had a past life memory.
Yeah.
So every time I was looking at the mirror, I was surprised because little girl was there, but my mentality was a man.
Wow.
I remember up to probably age 2 or 3 years old. And also after I grown up, I had a body experience. I looked at my body. And I don't know if it's related, but I feel like I'm always observing this world. And I thought it's a problem because I was told that I'm distant and I don't get excited like others. And I feel missing the
actually
enjoyable moment. But I feel pain, but I still, at the same time, it might feel a bit cold, but this is a kind of illusion, this life is. Because I know I'm not body.
Yes.
And I thought it's a problem of... according to Buddhism, is it better than being
involved? ตัวเนี่ยเหมือนกันเนี่ยอ่ะตัวสิทธิ์แท้มาตัวไม่มีเลยตัวอิญบัวเอาตีดิโหลเว้ยบาเจ้าเลยสรแล้วเนี่ยตัวมาแล้วเหมือนนั้นเหมือนนั้นตัวอ่ะยอกช้าจีนยอกช้าอ๋อแล้วเมคลีเลยคลีเลยเหมือนไล่อ่ะอ๋อว่ะเนี่ยแล้วแต่จีนน่ะแหละคําว่าเนี่ยลูกเนี่ยตัวเมียทุซ้ําดิโหลเว้ยบาสตัวอ่ะ ไม่มาคันซาอูรู้เลยโหเวลาไลฟ์เราเวมาป่าอ๋อเดี๋ยวจะสิเนี่ยติดคันซาแล้วมันดีนะแต่ว่าตัวไอ้น่ะจําไม่เข้าตู้สึกขึ้นมาเนี่ยตู้กระบายอยู่เนเน่โหเนี่ยดีเออโหเสียจริงตู้เตียนถ่ายเนาะเลยไอ้โหขนาดกูอเปียเนี่ยไม่ได้รู้ไปไอ้ตัวบลูคันซาเลยสรแล้วขนาดกูไม่เข้ามาเลยก้าวติเลยสึกอ่ะนอกรู้อ่ะโหไอ้โหอย่างเนี่ย บ่มาเป็นอินวอลฟ์มาผิดสึกอ่ะวินติมาคันซาอูนาราติเนี่ยแหละถ้าไม่สึกอ่ะตะมีเป็นอีเซตอีเซตเสร็จจีนามาไม่ติดแล้วเว้ยไอ้หลอยู่นี่ผิดแหละไอ้หลอตัวเราจะช่วยรู้แล้วตัวไอ้หลอไม่กล้าบ่เลยเนี่ยบ่มาเตชะคันซาล่ะหมอบ่ดังนั้นพุทธบาลาตัวผัดจีแล้วเลยพุทธบาลาดากล้าตัวโลเว้ยแล้วสอตัวดีกว่าคันซาเลยดีบ่ว่าอย่างนั้นแหละอิลูชั่นดีบ่ว่าอย่างนิวชั่นนั้นแหละนี่ค่ะชื่อแหละแล้วเต็มบ่ว่าบ่ปาล่ะครับบ times.
He
said there was this man who's, you know, he was dreaming, he was sleeping, dreaming, and then woke up. And then the sudden realization that in the dream, it was so vivid that in the dream it had felt real. And then when he woke up, realizing that was a dream, the difference was very stark. But he said the strange thing was then that man thought further, the wisdom sort of woke and said, but what about now? Is this a dream? Is this real? Yeah, so each time the wisdom, you know, takes a step up, then we can see the dream that's one step down. We were in a vivid dream, so we believe it's real.
Sometimes it's vivid.
Sometimes it's vivid.
It's
always vivid.
Yes,
my
what could you say then from what you learned about when Shrim and Sayadaw passed away? That was so different from everyone else. When Shrim and Sayadaw passed away, you were there. What is it now that, in reflection, what was it that you could say that
When his teacher was going through the throes of death, and we all were watching, one of his sisters-in-law said to him that he should have done something. When all the doctors were busy giving his Luciano shots, you know, they gave him hydrocortisone, and then they gave him this and that, you know, they were trying different things, and they also had something, you know, some tape player playing by the side, Ujotika's relaxation tape, because Seattle had said that that's what he wanted on. And said he should have said something to the doctors. And he was like, say what? Mm-hmm. I mean, he had full faith in Seattle. And he doesn't know the work of a doctor. So he has to have faith in the doctor to do what's right. There was nothing he needed to do or could do. So what was the point of interfering? Yeah.
Watching my load.
All he did was watch.
What? But what did you see? I think that's what he's after, is that, you know, was he conscious at the end?
Yeah, he said his, for him, the clear understanding. For him, the clear understanding was that the shell left behind was not Seattle. Mm. Yeah, because he always identified Seattle with his mind.
Yeah.
his intentions, his wisdom,
loving kindness,
his loving kindness, and so on. So he was clear that was gone.
Mm-hmm. That was a shout.
But Ujjotika said sometimes the the effect of the mental qualities remain with the body.
Hmm.
I mean, some reflection of it is still. He looked very peaceful when he died. Yeah. Even though he was having convulsions and all. His teacher said to him one day, he said, if I were to feel it, he said, it is pretty hot. It's very hot in there. So he said the way he said it was so calm, it was like he wasn't feeling it. So he knew it could be that hot, but he said, if I were to feel it, it's pretty hot. Yeah. So he wasn't feeling it, he was just understanding it. Separate.
Going back to the killing bit, at the moment the farmers are having a hard time with rats and rabbits.
Yes.
They've got plagues of rabbits and plagues of rats. So they have to protect their livelihood and their crop.
Leia the Mari or
you go to the tank of Tracy and let it go and meet you and I'll go meow. Tracy and that. Go to the town to tell, no? May like that. A call you tell, but I. Don't a question, I need to go and meet you and I'll go meow.
Don't meet you and I'll go and meet you and that. Go out that. Mane,
young.
He says what to do? Maybe try to fence. He says don't do farming. There was a Siano in Burma. He went to a fishing village. After he gave his talk, all the fishermen came and said, Siano, you know, it's terrible. You know, you've given this Dhamma talk and we're torn. Yeah. How do we carry on? And it's very hard. And he said, well, he said, you can't help it. You're born into this livelihood. So he says you have to think of it positively. He says you have a chance to know the Dharma. He said do more Dharma work. You know, increase the kusala, you know, like practicing the five precepts in all other aspects, you know, or doing the eight precepts once a week and stuff like that. All the other things that you can do, dana, sila, etc. And he says as far as fishing is concerned, he says have the right intention. You know, it's because you're doing business, not that you particularly want to go and kill a fish. Although that is part and parcel of the work. And then he says, if it gets to the point where you really can't take it anymore, mentally, your conscience can't take it, he says, then you have to find another way.
Mm.
You know, but when that becomes possible.
Yeah. What about plagues? Like cockroaches and, you know, like that are killing people.
Cockroaches kill
people sick.
Prevention.
Yeah. Yeah. If a plague comes into a village or mosquitoes, you know, start killing, we have to do something about it.
lure tezi re yoga re upama chwe pare yoga lo chin pare yoga lo
elo so ha du do mti lu ke la ne taisan lu lo da phit tan de tu a ni pu lu a pu a chi lo chi ban ta ta to lo ten mo lo ten mo ke nai no bo bo lo lo mo san ya lo be ki lo nan mu lo be a chi de chi ni di ka lo du ya
Tatiana spoke about this as well. He said he said there's a balance of two, saving a life and killing a life. He says it's whether you're able to concentrate on the fact that you're saving a life and not killing the other life. Because most of the time we go in and think we have to kill the mosquitoes, you know. Our sense of how much life we're saving is very, because it's the anger that's motivating. Mm-hmm. So again, to be aware of the intention and then to direct the intention. So he says the saving of a life is a far greater good than the killing of a life, you know, a life. But
attitude,
our intention, how have we directed it? That's very important. Yeah, because we
need to
be unconscious. Yeah. He says killing a mosquito and killing an elephant has a very, very, there's a huge difference in chintana because of how much energy we have to put in to kill an elephant compared to kill. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about trail of ants in the house? You know, suddenly the weather is hot. Trail of ants.
I'd like to ask Sayadaw if you could speak further about prayer. In Theravada there's the refuge of Buddhadharma Sangha. In Mahayana there's the refuge tree, and they do a lot more prayer.
Yes.
And some traditions do there's a great deal of prayer, and some of the Christian mystics became enlightened through prayer. Francis or Sister Teresa. The question is there an aspect of related to ultimate reality or the ground of being? I don't know the correct term. Is there an aspect of universal wisdom mind that does respond, can respond to prayer from our being's heart, and especially if there's no attachment, like in Bhaktivedanta, they'll say a prayer and then dissolve it and then carry on with no attachment. So is prayer real? Is it heard?
I want to change the language, okay, to suit the Buddhism that we're practicing, Sarah understands. So instead of saying there's a universal wisdom mind, there is a potential for all wisdom in every mind. Okay, and instead of asking whether prayer is answered, it's about whether prayer can purify the mind so that the pure mind is able to then receive that wisdom, is then open to that wisdom arising in the mind, because the potential is already there. So tu ha made
it. Universal wisdom be a
Universal wisdom mind.
Universal wisdom being now.
He said, where is that universal mind? It's gonna come from. Yeah.
Well, some tradition some traditions will speak about the universe containing many, many different sorts of beings in different dimensions.
Yes,
angelic beings and devas and
he says prayer alone, he thinks, like if you're praying for wisdom, well, he doesn't know that wisdom will just come.
Yeah.
He doesn't think that's enough condition for wisdom to arise. But even through prayer, you know, if you're developing awareness and samadhi, and if those conditions are present, then so if awareness, wisdom, and all the other faculties and you know the other you know factors of enlightenment are developed through prayer, then why not? Yeah, so it's a vehicle, but not the cause.
Yes.
think about everything else, the usual things to get on board, awareness, awareness, concentration, and so on.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Now we might have your...
Tomorrow.
Now we don't have open money.
He says, from day after tomorrow, he will be more tired. If I don't speak, he says he can't rest. Now he is relieved. So, you will discover yourself, I think. When you speak to Seattle directly, speak simply. Explain a concept linearly. We have this way in speaking in English to speak of a picture. Don't do that, because he can't understand. Because he doesn't get the preposition, so he doesn't know where something is placed. So you must speak linearly. You must begin and then go on to the next bit and the next
sentence.
And use short sentences, say it one bit at a time, and make them connect to each other. So then he can understand you.
You're not going to be nervous.
I will be here from Sunday afternoon. I fly back tomorrow afternoon.
Oh, okay. Good to know. This is a helpful instruction.
Okay. Talk to you.